So did you know that there is an apparent worst day of the year? And did you know that this worst day of the year has a name? And it's called Blue Monday. Did you know this? Anybody know this? Yeah, apparently since 2005, the third Monday of January has been given the title the worst day of the year. And it's thought to be the most depressing of all the days of the entire year. So those who calculate out such things say. So it was this past Monday. Monday, January the 16th, was officially the worst day of the year. Now, some of the factors that go into making this the worst day of the year are the following. Number one, it's when our Christmas credit card bills start to hit the mailbox, and our personal debt level is seen to be the highest at this point of the year. Number two, Christmas is over, so all the joy and all the laughter, all the fun and all the chocolate, all everything, the gift giving, everything is gone. Number three is that because at New Year's we make resolutions, yes, but many of us, by this point, have already said, I forgot what my resolution was, and we're back to our old behaviors. Number four is that it's winter, at least in the northern hemisphere, and because of, well, I think it's supposed to be winter. It was pretty nice, though, past couple of days. But because it's winter, it's rainy, it's gloomy, it's cold, it's icy, it's snowy, and we're not motivated to do much of anything. And the final reason is that there are no holidays on the upcoming horizon. The next civil holiday is probably Memorial Day. And so we're not motivated much at all. We like our days off. So it's the worst day of the year. Now, I don't know how your previous Monday was. Mine really wasn't that bad as far as I can remember. But I do realize that for some of us, you know, depression and blueness are real. And because of that, it seems to me that we can experience, though, depression and blueness on Monday or Friday. And we can experience it as well on the third Monday of January, just like we can on the third Monday of July. That it's real. This Sunday, I want to bring to conclusion our January preaching series entitled A New Year, A New You. And the first Sunday of the preaching series, I said that to become a new you, the message was, decide that Jesus is going to be number one. You got to make Jesus number one. The second piece of the preaching series last Sunday was, choose to accept the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to choose a Jesus buddy. Somebody who's going to help you to make Jesus number one. And this Sunday, the invitation, the message is simply this, that you've got to see that you got purpose. Every one of us has purpose. And that when we can come to see that we got purpose, then we can see, too, that we've got a greater sense of who we are. We have a greater sense of commitment, and we have a greater sense of happiness in our lives. When we can see that we have purpose. You know, I have to wonder if for the disciples in this gospel, if their purpose may have been somewhat waning, and they might have been a little bit blue, they might have been a little bit depressed, because when Jesus comes to them and says, comes to the Sea of Galilee, approaches the boat, and says to them, come after me and I will make you fishers of men, they immediately dropped their nets, got out of the boat, left their dad, and they followed. You know, I have to wonder if they weren't sick and tired of fishing, if they weren't fed up with following their dad's rules and regulations, and they were saying, you know, I'm tired of catching fish. It's a smelly, nasty job, and I don't want to do this anymore. Because they immediately left what they were doing, and they followed. You know, it's really pretty incredible when you think about it. It's pretty powerful. There were no words exchanged between Jesus and the disciples. You know, there doesn't seem to be much logic or reason to it. They didn't say, well, let me go off and pray about it a little bit, or I've got to go on a week of retreat to discern. They simply left what they were doing, left their jobs, left everything behind, and they followed. Pretty incredible. You know, can you imagine if the same were to happen with us? You know, just imagine, Ben, you know, sixth period at school. Jesus comes into sixth period and says, hey, Ben, come follow me. And you go home and you tell mom and dad, hey, I met this guy named Jesus today and I'm going to run off and I'm going to follow him. Your mom back there is saying, no, that's not going to happen. You know? Or can you imagine, Lee, that, you know, you're at work and you're on your break and Jesus comes into the break room and says, hey, I want you to follow after me. And you go home and you tell your beautiful wife here, hey, I met this guy named Jesus today. And I'm going to run off and I'm going to follow him. And so you're on your own. I mean, but think about it. If that were to happen, my family would say, you're absolutely nuts. You're crazy. But that's what happened. That's what happened. Jesus comes to these disciples where they're at in the midst of their life, and he says, I want you to follow me. And without really any reason or understanding whatsoever, they left everything and they followed. What was it? What was it that gave them the strength, the power, the ability to do that? It was Jesus. It was simply Jesus. Jesus gave them purpose. Jesus gave them a sense of mission. And once they had that sense of mission, they said, we're going to do it. We're going to go off and we're going to feed the poor. We're going to shelter the homeless. We're going to give drink to the thirsty. We're going to visit the imprisoned. We're going to help bury the dead. We're going to take care of the sick. We're going to do all these things with you, Jesus, because you give us purpose. To become a new you, we've got to realize that Jesus gives us purpose. To become a new you, we got to realize that Jesus gives us meaning and understanding and a new way of life. And once we come to realize that, then it's not so difficult to say yes to him. And there's a story of an airline stewardess who's on a transcontinental flight, and she's got a real curmudgeon kind of a passenger on the flight with her. He's just a real doozy of a guy. He's a real kind of loser. He is rude. He is obnoxious. I mean, he takes obnoxiousness to the next level. And no matter what she does with him, she cannot get him where she needs him to be. And so dinner comes, and she goes up to him, and she says, would you like dinner? And he says, what are my choices? And she responds, your choices are yes or no. Do you want dinner or not? Yes or no. It's the same for us. Yes or no. Are we going to follow Jesus or not? Once you decide that you're going to follow Jesus, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter the complications, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been doing, no matter how difficult things may seem to be, no matter the sickness, no matter the despair, no matter the addiction, no matter the hardship, no matter what it might be, once you decide to follow Jesus, everything becomes a lot brighter. Everything becomes a lot lighter for us. It's your choice. Are you going to follow or not? Yes. Or no.